So Nick had this brilliant idea yesterday. It was really just last night. I was like, wait, what are we going to talk about on the podcast this week? Because
wait,
I always ask all the babes on Patreon, like, what do you want to talk about on the podcast? And everybody's just so appreciative and so grateful of the episodes. I've seen a couple of really great suggestions.
What are they?
Well, one of them was like global warming. And I was like, sis.
Yeah, something really happy, like global warming.
And now I think it is an episode that would be really epic, especially with my extent of research and like the extent that we give a fuck about the environment. So I think that is a great suggestion. So there's never a bad suggestion. Never.
And it's going to be up to our generation because it's clearly our parents aren't going to, they're like, what? What? Hold. It's like that scene in Step Brothers. Where they're like, hey, Dale, no power tools. And he's, oh, I'm done anyway. It's the same thing with the boomers. They're just like, oh, it's not real. It's all right. Well, we're retired anyway. Your problem.
So when it comes time for that episode, it's going to be a great one. But what I'm saying is,
we're going to fix. I mean, we're going to have to.
Yes, yes. Maybe not just on Herbie House, but just, you know, as a community, as
if
a group.
As humans.
There's also some brilliant babes in the Patreon. So if those of you that are interested, that you're listening to this and you're like, wait, I didn't know there was a VIP community. Herbie.house is the website. You can go and sign up. It's $5 a month. You get the full video of this podcast. So you can see this really cool linen leopard shirt that I thrifted.
And you can see this really cool shirt.
Oh yeah, you can see a shirt that Jedi Nick is wearing, which is one that was gifted from one of y'all's, actually from a group of y'all. And that's where we especially pay attention to the comments, because we know that y'all actually really do fuck with this podcast. But even if you can't do the $5 a month, we're always here for you. Every couple of weeks, we're coming with these hot topics. And this week, you know, we kind of play it by ear. If we're not in the mood to talk about global warming for that day, we'll just kick it to another week. And so this week we thought it's been long enough that we haven't touched on creative shit. Like, we've been talking about how to communicate better, how to do all these things to like almost like self-help topics more so than creative living topic, which is the kind of the point of the podcast in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Was like, oh, what is it like to be an independent artist, queen and Jedi, like independent music producer? Like, how are you navigating the music business, which is also a shit show? And so last night, Jedi came up with this great idea. Okay, why don't we talk about details, creative details?
It's what we're doing right now.
Because it's exactly what we're doing right now. So we thought, okay, we'll save some of these hotter topics like global warming for later. And today we're going to dive deep into creative details, bitch. I started taking notes on the episode and I was like, oh, we could literally talk about this forever. So many things about this topic that I love. So when I began to understand how to express myself, I would say somewhere in the midst of Carmen, I began to understand that I could make myself into a more distinctive brand. I started to understand how unique I was and how it wasn't quite meshing with the rest of the music business. And I was looking outside of myself for answers. I was looking for creative directors or people that we could hire to give me those answers. And in some situations, even like I was becoming a people pleaser, and like other people were, you know, looking to control me, which is probably very satisfying.
For them.
Yeah.
For me, it was how much of, at least for sonic details, like how much it would, because everything is formatting now, or, you know, it was formatting at the time, especially when you're trying to be put into a thing. So like a radio station, for example, like it's all about, okay, well, do you fit the format? And so much of that is like very, it's kind of like everything needs to be, everything's already kind of determined for you. Mm. This is the snare sound. This is the tempo. This is the, you know, whatever. And so I was like, oh, well, this is just commerce then. And I didn't know how to say that. This is what the big thing Rick Rubin has been on recently. He's like, you know, there's the difference between art and commerce. And if you can try to thread the needle and have your art make, you know, money, that's awesome. But if you're just making commerce all the time, then it's, you know, if it's just made to make money, I wouldn't call that art. And I think for us, it just wasn't satisfying to kind of do it in that approach. always felt like we were going to be just going to wake up when we're 65 one day and be like, oh shit, I should have fucking done a different snare sound. No, whatever, you know, whatever the thing is.
Or try it, yeah, or try it. So this episode, I believe, is going to serve as sort of a booster shot for those babies out there who are already diving into their own creativity and trying to develop a brand for themselves. But it's also for those babies that don't consider themselves artists. Because what I realized as I was going through these notes is that you can utilize a lot of these skills in your regular life. Like you can designing your experience on earth from a woo-woo perspective, designing your life makes you an artist, babe. Even if you're like, I'm having four kids and we're going to Disneyland and we're doing this, like, you know, my partner has this job and we see our families on the weekends, like that, you can still design that as an artist if you want to look at it that way. So for any of my babes that are on here that are super creative and you're in your journey and you're like designing your website, to my babes that are just like picking up the kids from soccer, all of these skills can apply to you. So I think that was my big takeaway from the notes. I want to say that when I started going deeper, when I again healed the people pleasing issue and got rid of toxic and manipulative characters from my story, I was shocked at the audacity required, the endless lengths that you can go to design your life or to design your brand or your art or whatever it is. It really became to me the essence of life itself. And when you understand how source and universe and Gus and goddess, you know, the nature of whatever you want to call that higher power, it's like, oh, this is the point. This is the point of life, is to go deeper into those details. And I think that's going to be your, if we can get you to be more comfortable with that, babe, you're going to unlock so many amazing things. And I'm just really excited to dive in to this.
One of the biggest things for me is like renovating a house or like changing a property.
Yes.
And then you go in and you realize how many decisions have to be made.
Yes.
And how many little fucking details. Every single part of what you see was a decision at some point.
Yeah.
And it's things that we just pass by. We don't even think twice about. So when you have to actually go and make something and you have to actually do those choices and the decisions, at least for me, it's like, holy shit, so much fucking time is put into having to figure out exactly like, oh, where is their molding? What fucking paint color is it? Is there flooring? Is there not flooring? Do we have a roof? I don't know.
Oh my God. In a way, it's like, you know, you go to a store, like, I don't know why IKEA is an example that's coming to mind. You go to a store
never
like that.
Never go to IKEA on the weekend.
Don't go on Saturday.
Sounds like a country song.
But what's interesting is like these folks, these other entrepreneurs that have built something like IKEA, they're literally just curating for everybody a selection of limited decisions, even though there's so many things to choose from at IKEA. That's a bad example. But you know, when you go into like a store and you have a certain number of clothing to choose from, that's your favorite store, is because they've sort of like niched out this world for you to have less stress about designing your life within. Does that make sense? So what you're doing with your soccer mom life or your ceramics business. I think let's use an example today of somebody doing a ceramics business. If you're on the Patreon, you can see these beautiful custom ceramics that I picked up on tour. Shout out to, I believe it's New Bedford Pottery for these beautiful custom mugs. Let's use this as a fantasy example today as we go through these tips that I sort of, the Queen Herbie tips that I came up with. And I know Jedi is going to drop so many gems on us.
I'm going to drop so many ceramics
along the way. But remember, you're building a curated zone. Your brand is just a curation so that you're going to attract similar like-minded people like you and make their lives easier and better. That's what we're all doing as creatives. That's what I'm doing when I make music, babe. I'm like, this is the shit I like, and I want to talk about this, and I want to dress like this. And I've somehow attracted all these incredible folks around the movement. So that's why this is so important. And that's why this episode is so saucy.
And the details are the thing that make it unique and make people give a fuck about it. And like gives you that tingle, that like emotional connection to it. And that was the thing that we were lacking from the format structure.
Yeah.
Shit show of, you know, maybe having, you know, super mainstream promoted music, whatever.
Yeah. It's a bit like the act of being seen is so powerful.
It's like the being unique.
And how are you ever going to feel seen or how are you going to help other people feel seen if you can't begin by just being honest with yourself, right? So we're going to get into some uncomfortable shit here. World building. Okay, I want to address this because like world building is one of my favorite phrases and it's kind of reserved for people writing a novel. I noticed like every article I Googled about world building was like, so you're writing your first novel. It's like, damn, but world building is really kind of a concept we can use to drive through this episode because it's just a really good practice. For example, for the Muse, for my EP, The Muse, I knew that my world was going to be Medusa in a swamp. I just knew that. That was the extent to which I went creatively on that. And she's talking about toxic relationships. That was a really successful project for us. And it was very simple. You know, I was just like, let me get the leaves and the vines and the snake head thing from Etsy. And it was a done deal, you know, but what I realized even since releasing the Muse project is that I can go even deeper than that. And that's kind of the technique I want to discuss with y'all today. I think this is pure gold, this info that I've come up with. So we're living in the age of world building. We're in the age of Amazon Prime. Okay. I know there's like definitely some bad things about Amazon, but like think about the sheer convenience of being able to go on your phone and tap with your little finger to order anything you can imagine with 2-day shipping. Like the access, the sheer access that we have to materials.
And this will tie into our global warming.
I know, right? This will tie into global warming. Yeah, there's definitely not everybody's using it for good.
Well, it's like there's a, like with everything, you have payoffs. If you want everything to be that accessible, there's going to be, doesn't need to be that way. Anyway.
You know, and while I use Amazon for some things, and I don't want to, I'm sure a competitor somewhere along the line, they're going to make, this is going to get better. But I'm thrifting all my clothes. I don't buy new clothes anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like you start making choices to counterbalance these things. So just as an example, though, to talk about the sheer accessibility, babe, of once we dive in and we access these points in your imagination for your world that you're building for us to make our lives better, you're able to get stuff so easily, right? And just designing like a room in your house that makes you so happy and feel so safe to express yourself is a good starting point. And, you know, those little twinkly light things that you can hang up on the windows, like whatever it is, it's just the best time to be alive to do this stuff.
And pulling references from the internet, too. That was like,
oh,
wait, how did you do that before? Did you have to go to the fucking library?
Literally.
And look at books?
So I'm going to also give you a little bit of breadcrumbs on the new project we're working on, which, you know, we've talked about. It's film noir themed. And I'm looking at references for Jekyll and Hyde. Okay. So I'm like thinking about a classic monster transformation story. And I'm like, in the past, I would have had to think about the scene from Pagemaster, like one of those childhood movies that I loved. And I would have had to go out and find the VHS tape and God forbid a VHS player. No, bitch, everything is at your fingertips on YouTube. It's on Google. There's Reddit blogs about it. Like you can literally find every reference. And as I'm now going through and planning this next release, I'm like, oh, how much more detail can I grab? Okay, there's a scene in one of the 1930s Jekyll and Hyde movies where his hand, they cut to a picture of his hand on a book and then it just crossfades into like a bigger, hairier hand. I was like, okay, that shot needs to be in the shot list for my next video. Mm-hmm. And so,
or like the shadow.
Yes. And it's just like the ability to notice those things and have the courage to then go after it. How am I going to make my hand bigger and hairier? Probably going to need to hire a makeup person who knows how to do that. Or I need to buy a little prosthetic glove, which they probably have half off because it's not Halloween season.
They're taking a lot of testosterone.
You know what I'm saying? And you think about this, like creating your art this way. It's so, there's just so much accessibility. So I want to inspire you today to go for it.
Well, also on that, a little bit of a tangent too. If you ever listen to Quentin Tarantino talk about his shots and the stuff that he references, he straight rips
yes.
shots. So, so what I mean by that, like little, like 3 or 4 shot set pieces, or it could just even be one actual shot. He'll actually straight rip them from, you know, some indie Japanese movie or a lot of spaghetti Westerns, which were Western shot in Italy.
Yes. So Tarantino was doing this long ago. And what we notice, what Jedi and I notice as we're creating music, we're like, oh my God, we should make a song like X, and it literally ends up sounding nothing like it. Yeah. When we try to mimic visual references, it ends up looking nothing like it. First of all, there's never been a female Jekyll and Hyde. Like, I'm literally looking and there's just makeup tutorials and that's it. It's not like...
Oh, really?
People, girlies did it for Halloween, but there's never been like a Jekyll and Hyde transformation in Vogue magazine, for example, which is a reference. So it's like... And I wanted to mention also, you know, there is Amazon Prime, but there's also like international markets like Alibaba, where you can get some really interesting stuff. There's small businesses on Etsy. I get a lot of my props made by craftsmen and women on Etsy. Okay. So there's local carpenters and people that can make this shit for you as you're building this. The gifts that I've been receiving from y'all on tour are prime examples of this. Y'all are doing it. Already. This excites me very much.
This okay. excites me very much.
So should we start with rule number one on Queen Herbie's list? Drum roll. Yes, and. My first rule of creating your creative details and building your world is yes, and. Have you all ever heard of this? Besides, is there an Ariana Grande song called this? I forget.
Thank you, next.
Oh, sorry. Okay. She has such good titles. Okay, so yes,
and. I think this is also an improv rule, right?
It is. Yes, and is the number one rule for improvisation. And man, it's so important to flex this and to practice this, because you can always decide to dial it back if you go too far. But the idea of yes, and is that there's a blank after the and. So you're like, okay, he was from a small town in Chicago. And then the next person says, and he... was really nervous about attending school that day. So you sort of just add the, and I think this expansive thinking has to be trained like a muscle. You have to push your brain to go further. That's my first rule for getting the creative details out. For example, with our made up ceramics business, right? Who is the witchy character that's making these beautiful ceramics, right? And here's the yes and. Yes, she's a very witchy person. And her backstory is this. She did it at, you fill in the details, right? You exercise this, and then maybe you say yes, and the reason that each mug has this little emblem or this little rhinestone on the bottom is because of blank, right? So you just continue to go until you have this fun, crazy story. And you don't have to like commit to all of it. You can just like, boom, put it all down and come back to it and sort of refine it as you go. But that initial, I think Jordan Peele said when he's writing a script, he's like shoveling sand into a sandbox, knowing that eventually he's going to make a sandcastle. But like at the beginning, babe.
That's a great way to put it.
Yes, and. Like just go deeper. So we're using our ceramics business that we just made up out of thin air. But who made the ceramics? And all these details, and you're going to find out why, like, this is going to go way beyond you selling ceramics. You're going to be able to push even the category of pottery to the next level because nobody's doing this shit. The audacity.
Storytelling.
Yes. So that's my first rule, yes and. I feel like that's kind of the only one you need, but let's go to rule number two.
Okay.
Which is go beyond your area of expertise, right? So think beyond just making pottery. Don't be afraid to build your universe by like surprising and delighting your audience with some random ass shit. You know, like Queen Herbie doesn't need to become Jekyll and Hyde, but she's going to do it. You know, like a lot of people wouldn't take the time to do that. Okay, our house quiz for the Herbie house quiz. If you go to my website, you can take this and be placed into your house. You're about to find out what these four house founders have to do with the whole Queen Herbie origin story. And it's all because I've just grown the creative balls to get these details out.
And you also took was it a screenwriting class or a novel class or something?
I did.
So you could actually figure out what, if I were to write a movie or whatever, the actual, all of the details that have to be built, that have to be considered for people to buy into it.
Now, keep in mind, as you say, okay, Queen, I'm gonna start my ceramics business and then I'm gonna develop this whole backstory for it. You're gonna be overwhelmed really quickly. When I decided one day that I wanted to be J.K. Rowling, I was quickly like discouraged because it's so intense. I bought books on storytelling and how to like develop the arc and the outline for a story. And I was like, yo, this shit is crazy. It made me appreciate these other creatives so much.
Yeah. And how much fucking time they put into this shit.
So much time, right? Yeah. But in the meantime, I also realized I could probably, you know, because I have my big ceramics business, I could probably reach out to some of these YouTubers that are exceptional and went to college for it and maybe even pay them to help me or something. So it's a way to like go beyond pushing yourself to try new things and fail and learn the value of having to outline a Harry Potter novel for yourself, and then networking and connecting with developing that courage to reach out to people for help and delegating these things if you can. But yeah, even if you're bad at it at first, it's just going to lead to new discoveries and value beyond just your field of like ceramics or for me, music. I also had a larger thought on this rule as I was like, yo, we can't just forever be like a ceramics business, right? Like eventually you could turn pottery into like a huge, there's a place down the street that teaches classes on like how to actually throw clay. And I'm very intrigued. I'm like, wow, it's a monthly membership. I mean, they're pushing it. It used to be very localized and now it's like, download our app. It's like, holy shit.
People are heavy into that. I have a couple of aunts and uncles that are like, they literally built a kiln.
Yes, it is a beautiful art form and very therapeutic, very spiritual. So I think you are helping the entire creative world to evolve when you're diving in fearlessly and failing at these things and learning how they work. And it's just going to lead you to other shit. I truly believe this is how the universe communicates with us as creatives, is when we're not afraid to try new shit. For example, for me recently, one of my discoveries was I was on YouTube watching some like Harry Potter ambiance while I was writing my novel. You know, it's not going to end up being a novel at all. This is the spoiler alert, right? It's going to end up being something totally different. But I put up a Harry Potter like ambiance and I was looking at this YouTube video like, bitch, somebody painted an entire room from Hogwarts and then like had moving elements. It was snowing outside. There was a fireplace burning. There was steam coming off the food on the tables in the dining room. And I was like, bitch, how is this done? Because I want to make this for my meditations on Herbie House.
Which you did.
Which I fucking did. And so it was just like, it was funny how I got there. I never would have got there had I not thought I was going to be J.K. Rowling, which JK didn't happen. So that's rule number two. So we have yes, and we have go beyond. Rule number three, there's four. Sorry, this feels like overwhelming to any of you. I'm just very excited about this topic. Rule number three is take breaks.
Are we good at that?
Oh, no.
Nope. Sure.
We're not good at that. We're developing new skills, though. Like we do like to get in the car and drive with the windows down at night.
Yep.
To listen to the music, and it gives you such a fresh perspective.
I have to move.
Movement is really helpful for creative energy.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. Going for a walk is a big, people do that, like a lot of creative, brilliant folks.
Yep. Stephen King, there's like a million poets, a million writers. They walk miles a day. Usually, like morning and night, just to like clear their head. And yeah. I think Einstein walked a lot. Like
you're essentially becoming a channel to speak directly to the source. So yeah, you need to push that energy through in some way. Some people go to the gym. You got to take space from it when you need perspective, because sometimes you get so far up its ass, as we like to say, that you can't see the light of day anymore. You're like, I don't even know what we're making.
Be able to identify your, I guess you could call it a weakness, or be able to identify where you need to improve.
Yeah.
So for us, it is working too hard on something.
Yes.
And then now like for the last hour, I actually didn't make it better at all. Right. I've just been fucking it up and changing.
Maybe made it worse. Yeah.
Possibly
to go back.
Maybe made it worse.
Yeah.
Because we got really excited or whatever. And I didn't have any, I totally lost my original inspo perspective of what it was originally trying to do.
Yep.
And then now it's just, you know, take a total, because I didn't step away from it. Or like what we'll do a lot of times is we'll make a print of it. So we'll just like bounce what we have so far. Get in the car and just drive around the neighborhood, and just something about hearing it in a new place, seeing it in a new place, whatever, completely changes your perspective. Also playing it for friends or something totally changes. It's hard to describe why, but it's just, it completely changes your angle on it.
I got this like sand dial. No, what is it called? Sand timer thing from Amazon too. It was just like, It does exactly 57 minutes or something. So we used to use that to stop ourselves Because if you work too long, like they say an hour is the prime amount of time to work and then take a 20-minute break.
Yeah.
So we used that for a long time. It's just when you start doing this yes and shit and you dive into these new things, you're going to find that you become exhausted pretty quickly. That's normal. Okay. So don't be alarmed if you get into this and you're like, all of a sudden Queen has me learning Photoshop and you're like on the verge of tears or you like throw your computer against a wall. This is normal.
This is how you fix your computer.
So build slowly and develop stamina because it's a lot of patience required.
That's true.
You're literally becoming an alchemist. You're turning something you didn't have into something you do have.
It wasn't there before.
Yeah. It wasn't there before.
And also, like, don't feel bad. So we try to only work like 3 or 4 hours a day, but it's like real focused, like fairly intense 3 or 4 hours. And then chill. It's almost like, you know, if you go to the gym for every day for fucking 6 hours a day, you're never going to have your body like going to be able to recover. You're just going to keep beating the shit out of yourself. It's the same thing. You need to be able to rest and reset.
Yeah. Okay. For example, I like to do examples of our pretend ceramics business. Let's say you just learned the basics of Photoshop and how to export a PNG file. Okay. So what I learned about PNG files is that there's like a transparency to them. You can take the background out and have like a floating graphic, which was so essential for like having a logo for my website, like all this shit. And let's say you finally got it and you try to export it and Photoshop shuts down. It's like, to me, when those things happen, it's so frustrating, babe, but that's a sign for you to step back.
The entire Sugar Daddy video got deleted.
The Sugar Daddy music video almost didn't come out. Because I was editing the video on my laptop and the whole thing crashed. We lost all the files. I was like, holy shit. The only option I had was to step away. So I stepped away. I quit for the day. I slept on it. And I realized the next morning, it was so clear to me, there was a scene that was missing in the edit and I could make it better. And so when I opened it back up and started over again, and all the while I was afraid, is it going to crash again? It didn't, babe. But I was able to put together an even better edit. And to this day, that's our biggest music video. All right. So are we ready for rule number 4? I feel like we've graduated.
Do it.
Rule number 4. Don't get stuck. Good one. Don't get stuck in the same old same. So what I love about this rule is now that we've done all this stuff and we've literally created a world out of nothing, you're an alchemist, congratulations. And now you've taken breaks and you've learned your flow and you work for an hour, you take 20 minutes, you're walking a lot. It's like, you might come up with something really fucking great. And I want you to know that when it comes to creative details, always be prepared to rock that shit for a while and then to move the fuck on.
Yeah.
Don't get so attached. Like, I see so many people make brands and companies and products and stuff, and they just do the same thing forever. That's not natural. You can keep the blueprints of the things that are your DNA, but it's so important. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be Jekyll and Hyde forever, but, you know, it's something that I want to try. I'm like, I want to turn into a monster, right? So that's something you have to do. Even once you break into new territory, there's always more places to go. And so that's kind of a promise for you that once you follow my cool rules, you're going to be so savvy at building this and you're going to be living for the process. And so you're never going to just stall out and stay. You're never going to arrive, I guess.
Yeah. It's the spiritual teachings all over again. In art and music, especially if you're trying to make money from it, has a way of crushing you and completely beating the shit out of you to a point where, because if you are too attached to it, there's gonna be a lot of suffering. Let's put it that way. Okay. And like
all of these
rules, it's all the same shit, you guys. If you can find a way to love the process and put all the details and all the things into it and not be attached to the idea either, which is hard to do, which, by the way, I get attached to things
Because Tuesday. In the process, you have to be fully in. Like, your
you be
pussy
excited about
is
it.
Fully invested.
And then
you're
as
like,
you
yes.
get excited about it, there's no way to not be like, and then this is going to happen, and then, yeah.
yes, and then you're like, and let it go.
yeah. And then don't care. But care, but, you know what I mean? So it's like, well, what the
because
fuck am I supposed to
not,
do?
Because it's not, like, ultimately, it's not you. The essence of you is so much deeper than this. And so I just think... Try to think of it like you're never abandoning anything. What I realize too, project to project with my music, is like there's a piece of Halloween that I'm still using. There's a piece of the Muse I'm still using. There's a piece of Mad Queen that I'm still, like, all these eras and phases of my creative artistry have given me this even more refined version of me all the time. You're just like this moving ball of beautiful, magical energy, babe. So I hope that helps to take pressure off when some of this can feel overwhelming, especially if it's your first time, like, diving into your own creativity. And like I said at the beginning of the episode, make sure you have a room in the house or somewhere that you feel totally safe, that you can either paint your favorite color, put up the artwork that you love, like, completely immerse. Oh, sorry, I'm already going on to the next thing. Those were the four rules. This is a very exciting episode.
Thank you.
I'm excited to see the results of my creative babes once we get into this shit. Do we have an example for the ceramics business? Hold on. So don't get stuck. Rule number four. Let's say you're in your ceramics business and you find out you don't really love making ceramics, but you have a new passion for storytelling.
Or you love, you are always making cups and you want to make bowls.
Sure. And you're like, holy shit, I actually do want to write a novel, and I just signed up for an online class, and I need my ceramics business to pay for my tuition. This is the beauty of being able to not get stuck.
Classic example. You guys ever heard of Liquid Death?
Yes.
It's just water. Okay? It's just water in a fucking aluminum can. The reason anybody knows about it is because they are marketing people. They're writers who put creativity into the storytelling of the brand.
Yeah.
That's it.
Pretty amazing.
That's how powerful it is. And there's such a need for this in products today, because everybody now, so many people we've worked with, and this is, same thing through line with like mainstream music and stuff. They just were like, just hammer it down people's throats. It's just about ads and ad spends and all this stuff. And creativity doesn't really matter. No one values it. And it's like, no, dude, creativity is kind of the only thing.
It's everything.
Yeah.
Something that has recently made me feel stuck is social media. I'm like, shit, what do I post about da da da? As I'm going through this process, and some of my mentors that I work with and that I admire very much are like, honestly, just post your entire process of this messy, like, trying to figure out what the next thing is on social media, which I have yet to do. I feel like I haven't really done that to the extent that I want to. Mm-hmm. But I want to remind you that if you are doing a ceramics business and you've decided you want to be a novelist, there's just a beautiful story there that needs to be told.
That's going to make it probably just like so much more fun, so much more like flexibility and like looseness is a big thing for me. You have to feel fun and loose with it and just kind of like a little shithead. But like, imagine creating a whole story and a whole, like, I don't know, some whole arc around why these bowls came to be, mythology around these cups and these things.
I would need my entire cabinet in my kitchen to be full of those ceramics.
Do you know what I mean?
Because like, it would inspire me every time I took a plate out.
Yeah.
You take a plate out to eat three times a day sometimes.
Totally. That would be, and again, this is just what Liquid Death did.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Holy shit, you're right.
This is what all.
God, this is my favorite shit.
Also, speaking of eating with plates, have you guys seen, there's a scene from Portlandia where they have this whole skit of like how single people eat, and they're just like zombies just like eating over the sink.
Yes.
And they're like, this is how you do it. And they're just like, because all the crumbs and everything, they just like fall in the sink. And then you also just shows them eating over the trash. I totally caught myself doing that yesterday.
Yeah.
I was just eating something and I was too lazy to get like a plate or a fucking bowl.
You don't want to wash it.
No, you don't want anything. It gets dirty. You know, so I just pull the trash.
And just like.
you're just like, oh.
Okay.
Just like let the crumbs.
So that's
just
maybe
go right
we need to start
trash.
A ceramics business.
Okay. Start it out.
Maybe not.
A plate company.
Well, I love all of this. I hope that y'all have gotten some inspo from this. We have a few more tips to lead us out of this episode, but that was the meat of it, babe. I want you to really enjoy diving into the weird quirks that you're interested in and go down the fucking rabbit hole on this.
Yeah.
That's literally what that song is about. It's like, forget about other people's opinions. Like, that's your vibe right now. That's your vibe.
Also, some of the greatest works of art came from novices, people who have never done it before and had no idea how to do it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And just put as much detail and spent as much time as possible on it. And that's how Good Will Hunting was made.
Yep.
And written. That's how fucking Citizen Kane was made. That was his first movie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these, like, and I'm sure there's 100 billion more examples too, because they just started and they just did it and they tried to like put as many details as possible into it.
One of my tips on the way out of this episode was study the greats. I'm back on my Walt Disney train. I don't know what the deal is, y'all. I have read all of his books, all the historical.
It's the world building for you.
Holy shit. Walt Disney thrived on people telling him he couldn't do things. Everybody told him he couldn't do it, and he did it. Like, every single part of his journey was that way. So if you have somebody you admire, like, who are the great ceramicists of history? I don't know. Do they have books or interviews out? And do they have online courses that you can take? Like, look for parallels with Walt Disney. For me, it's always like, okay, he's from the Midwest. You know, he had two childhoods. Like, there was one book I read that I already know his whole story frontwards and backwards, but there was one guy that wrote a book about, I guess he started the Orlando Magic and he used Walt Disney's path to like guide him. And he was like, Walt had two childhoods. One where he was in like Marceline, Missouri, where he was super happy, idyllic farm life, you know, small town, which is what ended up being downtown Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had one in Kansas City where he had to be like a paper boy and it was like full suffrage. Like, it was awful. And I was like, holy shit. Like, I had my childhood summers in Wyoming that I thought were magical.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had the rest of my real childhood in Nebraska, which was like a struggle for the most part. Like, it was just confusing. And so you find these parallels between you and your idols, and it really drives you because you realize that if somebody else has gone on a different path like this, you can do it too.
Yeah. And how much resistance and how much horseshit they had to go through. And everybody has to go through all this stuff. Even if on the outside, it looks like everything was smooth sailing and super easy, they actually went through. Everybody has a crazy story.
And if you feel alone on this journey and you can't, let's say your mentor, let's say the person you admire is no longer with us on the earth plane. They're dead. It's like, they can still act as a mentor by you channeling and learning and understanding as much as you can about their life. So I thought that was cool. Even if you can't afford a life coach, it's like expensive, you know? Study the people that you love. That is a huge help for me. I even bought his fucking chili that he, like, whatever. I found out that he liked a certain kind of chili and I bought it on Amazon and ate it.
Yeah, we had it, right?
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good, actually.
I was like, damn, well, this is pretty good chili.
Is it the same chili?
It's the same chili.
Really?
Yeah. So it's just weird shit like that. You know, I'm a witch, so I'm also like casting spells on the chili and eating it.
Queen Herbie, chili witch.
Chili witch. Okay, other tips. Immerse yourself. So this is what I was trying to get to with like paint your room a certain color, okay? It's more than that. What music do you listen to while you're creating your ceramics? This is important. Some people don't think, like, the other day I was like, Jedi, do you not like just put music on? I have music on all the time. It's usually Disneyland type music.
Yeah.
Because I want to bring joy to the world in this way, but obviously a very different way because it's been 100 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What does your space smell like? Another aspect of your sensory experience that you can customize for creating your ceramic business. What does it smell? Is it lavender? Is it like Abercrombie and Fitch? Like, I don't know. But there's probably a candle you can get on Etsy that smells exactly like it.
That doc was really, there was a doc about Abercrombie and Fitch too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Remember we watched it? Was it Abercrombie?
Right. And how they just like doused the entire store in the perfume and it just sold like crazy.
Yep. And how, like, I don't know if a lot of people, I'm sure probably some stores had done that prior, but they were one of the first kind of like big mainstream stores to really like to make it an experience.
Yeah.
Make it like, have pretty much the whole fucking block of the mall smelled like Abercrombie.
Yes. And they weren't, you don't think of Abercrombie as a perfume store, but that was probably their highest selling SKU.
Was it? Yeah.
Probably. Okay. So what is it? What are you wearing? Oh, this is a good one. I noticed the other day Jedi was like wearing his sunglasses and he had his favorite jacket on or whatever. And he was producing beats. And I was like, yo, That's a powerful shit. What are you wearing as you're making your art, your ceramics, as we keep using it, the example?
I like jackets.
You know, you need to feel like you are that person because you are, okay, that person that you envision. Do you begin your creative sessions with a meditation where you visualize your dream? Like, stuff like this is so simple. It's free. Uh-huh. If you already have a Spotify subscription, like, bitch, find some weird-ass music.
It's free after you pay for it.
Right. Or it's free if you have Pandora or YouTube, okay? You can literally immerse yourself in your dream world before you even start. Yeah. For some people, like, take some cannabis edibles. Brew some hot tea. Brew your favorite, like, splurge on your favorite custom blend of tea. Like, Tarantino and a lot of the old school directors, I mean, people in the music industry always talk about, like, cocaine and hookers. Like, I know that's extreme. I know that's extreme, but what I'm saying, and it's not healthy necessarily, right? But you can customize your, really ritualize your practice of diving into your creative details.
Yeah. I finished the Rick Rubin book a little while ago too. And he was saying, gave a bunch of different examples of what people did to try to, like, to get in the zone. Some people needed intense silence and, like, almost needed to be, like, out in the woods in the middle of nowhere. Other people, like, blasted different types of music. They just needed chaos in, like, you know, and I think, I forget which one he was talking about. But every artist, some people needed to be in, like, a moving car to feel, like, the wind.
Yes.
In the motion, and other people needed to be still. Like, and you got to, it's fun to, like, figure out who you are in those situations. What you need to do to be able to make your shit, what kind of gives you that spark. It's fun.
And I think this is a good point in the podcast to remind you that you are worthy of this, okay? For me, I just never considered, like, my creative sessions to be sacred. I didn't have the self-worth to say, bitch, you're fucking brilliant. You've just been stifled. You've just been raised in a society that doesn't value this process. So I want to remind everyone that's listening, yes, you right there with the cute hairstyle, you deserve to dive deep into your magic and whatever it takes to get that out and to learn and to pull that out. I mean, that is your, honestly, it's your fucking purpose. So you may need to listen to this episode more than once. Shit, I might. Yeah. It's really important shit. Another tip, when in doubt, doodle it out. I have so many goddamn notebooks. Thank you to everybody that's bought me a notebook because I never have enough notebooks. And someday I'm gonna be long gone and people are gonna find these notebooks and think I'm a psycho. But drawing little pictures of anything that comes to mind, a set design for tour, a outfit idea, most of these will never come to light. Okay, phrases that I realize, oh my goddess, you know, something, what was the other thing? The cave you fear to enter holds the treasures that you seek. I was like, wow, that is such a profound thing. I want to incorporate that into a song. Like, these notebooks are so valuable. And it also helps you to get, when it starts to become the train of creativity in your brain and you can't sleep at night because they're just ideas, doodle it out. Put it in a book. Write it down.
What did you say? Doodle?
Doodle it out.
When in doubt, doodle it out.
For example, J.K. Rowling said that she had, because I watched all of her interviews, guys, when I thought I was going to become J.K. Rowling, she said she had a cardboard box with 10 years worth of fucking notes on napkins and papers. And
this was interesting.
She opened up the box in her apartment and it was like, it was so crazy. She was like, oh, and here's the backstory of the Dementors that I never shared. It's like gold. It's pure gold.
But she did all that so that just in case... You could really buy, it was a real world because every detail was accounted for.
Yep.
Which has helped you as a viewer, you know, and all the, you know, if you're reading the books, like just become a part of the world and escape into it.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Another tip, and this is going to be an eye roll for most of you, get witchy in the shit. Like if you don't have like a tarot deck, oracle deck, angel cards, like bitch, it's such a great tool to talk to your subconscious. Mark Jacobs, one of my favorite designers, in one of his master classes, he said he would just go for a walk around New York and notice like the color purple was really calling to him that day. And so And then you could pull a tarot card and be like, oh my goddess, there's a picture of the high priestess and the background's purple. Like there's, it's a fun way to start playing games where you're communicating with the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to allow you to really put some meaning on this crazy fantasy world that you're bringing to life, right? And when the rest of the world calls you crazy, you know, your friends and your family may think this is all a bunch of bullshit, but I want you to create, if you need another safe space, you know, please send me a message or something so I can encourage you, because
I think it's a way to communicate with yourself.
It is. Your higher self, your intuition, your soul can speak to you through tarot cards, through witchy rituals. Some of my babes will, you know, cleanse your space with sage, like with intentions, so much magic comes forth. I mean, that's the whole, it's very feminine, right? So my boys listening, push yourself, see if you can get into this shit. Cause it, I feel that once men start doing this witchy shit, the world is going to change very fast. We just have to figure out how to make it cool for you guys.
Or move to Los Angeles and try to date someone.
Yeah, without knowing about astrology.
You gonna learn.
I think that's kind of it for me. We were saying like this episode is relevant because we're actually doing this right now.
Yeah.
For like music video prep.
And for the songs.
And for the songs.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know how much we want to give away, but here's a great example. The other day I thought, how crazy would it be? Actually, one of my friends who's helping us with the video is like, is there a car? And I was like, oh my goddess, I've always wanted to put a car in a music video. And I know exactly what car it is. And I went back in one of my doodle books and I found a picture that I drew of me in like a convertible with the Herbie girls. And it was like, had the logo on the side of the door. I was like, holy shit. Literally Googled like, you know, Cadillac DeVille, you know, 1969 or whatever. And there's one available to rent. And I was like, the first thing that came up on fucking Google.
Love that.
And then I was like, holy shit, we might have a car in the next video. Finally, I'll get my moment. And then I was like, well, how do I get the logo onto the door? Right? And this is that first rule. Yes. And okay. So the universe said, yes, I got the car, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, I already know. Cause I had to manufacture stickers for the little spell jars that I did on tour. So I knew where to order the sticker. There's like a decal you can buy of your logo that you can like just temporarily put it on something and tear it off when you're done.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, holy shit, now I'm gonna have a car, but it's gonna be custom. And so this is the process that I want you to experience as you're building your fantasy ceramics business. Just see if you can take it further, babe, because you're so talented. The potential is literally limitless now in the age that we're living in. And so let us be your cheerleaders, screaming for you through the process. Nick's screams are silent. But we love you so much. I hope this has been helpful. I hope it's been inspiring. Please share this episode with another creative that you know, because I want this to feel like a safe space and I want people to feel inspired and I don't want anything in return. Like this is what I would have wanted as a little girl. Growing up with all these ideas.
Well, in return, you can come see you live.
Yeah, in return, come see me on tour. Holy shit, because we're about to list some more dates soon.
I think we actually are going to. When is this coming out?
Okay, now I'm screaming.
So that'll probably, this is going to come out Thursday or Friday. So yeah, we'll probably, I think in the next week, 2 weeks, we're going to list some more dates.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
And can I just have a little quick cheers for Nick and I? Our wedding anniversary is next week.
Oh, shit. That's right.
I'm sorry, not next week. This week. It's the 14th.
Pi Day.
3.14. So, thank you for those of you lucky enough to have a partner that supports you in your crazy ideas. Thank you so much.
Ceramic cheers.
Yeah, ceramic cheers. And thank you again to, I think it's New Bedford Pottery for these beautiful mugs. And to all of you for the beautiful gifts on tour. I can't wait to see y'all again soon. Have a beautiful rest of the week. Love you.